someday at some time of the day and or evening or perhaps morning. And that, of course, can mean only one thing. It is time for Dubious Intent Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever the case may be. I am Daniel Brewer, and I'm glad that you have joined us today. I guess technically this would be the week of July 23rd. How's that? We'll just do it weekly or something like that. It doesn't really matter. As aforementioned, I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by my co-host, the ever-capable and always lovely Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Wow, that was really, really long. We should have scripted that, because it was like, you're like, I'll just wing it. And then we're going to have to make the podcast an hour and a half just to make up for your.
You know what? If the intro is an hour and a half, it will be well worth it, because as I've mentioned last time, it is a work of art.
Well, yeah, I mean, it definitely is. And you know, you certainly take your time stroking the canvas and all that.
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, well,
taking my time stroking.
Well, and you're so good. You're so good at those intros.
Now you're just trying to dig yourself out of a hole. That's fine.
Well, I told you last week I was going to practice, so I want to butter you up, because I've got something to play for you.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I want to get your opinion. So, I mean, you know, I want you to be in a good mood. Or have you got your diet coke?
I am in a fabulous mood.
Well, I don't know how the audio quality is going to be. You know, I know you're a Nazi about that and everything. But I want to play you the first one before I did my coaching sessions this week or whatever. You know, I want to
So if this was a magazine, this would be the before picture.
This is the before picture of me.
Okay.
So let's see if I can play this here. It's really quiet. Hold on.
Yeah, why is it so quiet, Adam?
It's Thursday. And what does that mean? Well, that means Dubious Intent Plus is coming soon through the internet. Adam Burns, and I'm glad to join you today.
You already fucked it up.
Not at all, huh?
No, you thank the audience for joining you, not the other way around.
Well, look, I gave it a try. So I did some practicing, because that was just a first attempt. That was only a first one. And I'm trying to sound a little bit more like you here. So just keep that in mind. And again, you know, I'm not as good at audio as you, so just, you know, bear in mind. But we'll see how this one turned out.
Talk about my intro.
I even hesitated a little bit longer.
It's Thursday. And that can only mean one thing. That means Dubious Intent is coming streaming to you through the interwebs. My name is Adam Burns, and I'm happy to join you today. I'm joined by the king of all podcasting, Daniel J. Brewer.
Uh-huh. Was that one a little bit better?
it was, you know, but it's not so much the tone.
Oh, it's not the tone.
It's the inflection. It's the it's the absolute joy of starting a show and welcoming the audience, and you know, it doesn't really matter how you sound. As long as you're having fun, then the audience I think feels that.
Well, before we started, I think you were doing your podcast, Calisthenics. Do you have like a routine or something that you do? Like you play every sound effect that you have, that you own, or that you've ever put on your computer?
That's how I make sure that things are going through and that they're not too, because when I first played a sound effect, you said it was too loud. And so then I know, because I don't record what you hear, right?
Well,
I mean,
right.
In the same way that you don't, like when people are finally hearing this podcast, they're hearing stuff that I recorded here locally, married to stuff that you recorded there locally.
Well,
so our entire conversation here on Hangouts is really kind of thrown away. So I just want to make sure that the volumes going to that, which are separate from the volumes going to the recording, are correct.
Don't show everybody the man behind the curtain. I mean,
Bazinga.
You're giving away all the secrets here. I mean,
whatever.
I mean, what are you doing? Well, so not because of all my dating fiascos, but, you know, I was really sensitive the other week when I was told that I was basically fat.
Well, you were not told that, and B, whatever.
I most certainly was told that I was a heifer. And I quote,
it just, it gets worse every time. You, it's like it's like a fish story. It's like that fish was 7 feet long that got away.
What's the big fat thing on
big fat crap?
No. He won't even add me on Twitter, but that's beside the point. Anyway, on Star Wars, the big fat thing on Star Wars, Jabba the Hutt? Yeah.
Yes, I mean, Jabba the
practically,
Hutt.
He practically called me Jabba. He said, do you eat frogs? I mean,
right.
that was basically the extent. But anyway, I've been working on it, and I really had been working on it. And anyway, I'm not going to go back into that, but I was on a diet. And I just want to tell everyone that I've been on a diet, and I have lost 20 pounds.
20
I have lost
pounds.
Not in the last week. I mean, I just didn't know. I lost 20 pounds last week. No, I have lost 20 pounds. I will give everyone the secret. I will give them my secret high weight. You see, breaking
the secret way for you to lose weight.
No. The secret weight that I got to that I don't want to admit to anyone, but I will, okay. I will tell everyone because first of all, let me say, when I moved to Dallas and met Maddie and all that, and we started the show and all that stuff, I weighed 128 pounds. I was
128 pounds.
And that was probably the lowest I had weighed since like junior high, but I had really like been working out. I had a trainer. I was going on a trip that I wanted to see lots of men. And anyway, so in the past year,
yes,
I gained 40 pounds.
40 pounds.
Maybe not in a year. Maybe it was a little bit gradual, but So the last 3 or 4 years of our relationship, I probably stayed around 145. So I had already gained a little bit, but I got up to 168.
Mm-hmm.
I had to buy size 36 dress pants for my new job.
Oh, my God.
Now, I hope that was incorrect and the store that I was buying them from just sized incorrectly. But but anyway, so I went on a diet. But it was really hard moving back to Arkansas and being around my family and all that. So
Do they deep fry everything in Arkansas?
No, my stepdad's real like health conscious and he like eats all healthy and stuff, but they always wanted me to eat with them every time I would come over and all this stuff. And I have to really like, I count calories usually. And if I don't know how many calories is in something, I'm just at a loss. I mean, when I cook at home, I literally write down the calories on every single ingredient and then divide by how many servings that I'm like eating. And I can tell you a Krispy Kreme donut has 200 calories or a Snicker has 280. Anyway, I'm pretty much
A Krispy Kreme donut only has 200 calories.
A regular Krispy Kreme donut. The one with custard filled, chocolate covered, I think is 300 and something. But anyway, they're less than you'd think they are. But anyway, yeah. I'm usually a walking dictionary of calories, but if it's something that's been made by someone and I don't know all the ingredients and all that, then long story short, I gained a lot of weight. Probably gained 15 of the pounds after I moved back to Arkansas. So I finally got up enough willpower and I've been going to the gym. But have you ever gone to the gym?
Yes.
I seem to remember when you were on, when the previous iteation of this show.
Now who's calling who Jabba the Hutt? Have you ever seen the inside of a gym ever in your life?
Well,
I'm not calling you fat. I'm just asking for my own informational purposes.
People,
you look like someone who's never seen the inside of a gym. I'm just curious.
Well, I know you're very buff, but some people just come by it naturally.
I'm not buff. Anyway, yes, I have gone to, earlier in my life, I've gone to a gym, and then more recently, I've gone to the weight room at, the mall where I lived because, we had our own private weight room. Okay. So it had all the gym equipment in it, but it wasn't like a very crowded gym.
Well, okay. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been working out and your nipples get sore?
No, I tend to not work out while I'm lactating.
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm dying. Maybe I've got some horrible, hideous disease.
Go ahead. So your nipples are hurting you.
Disease. Well, they aren't hurting me on a consistent basis, but occasionally, last week, for instance, I was working out and I stay on the elliptical. I can't even say it. Don't look it up on WebMD or anything.
I
I've got some hideous disease. I'm a hypochondriac. So I'm working out and my nipples rub against my shirt and they get sore. So, I mean, like really sore, so much that I have to like hunch over on the elliptical so that my shirt is not rubbing up against them. But it's only when I'm doing, well, like when the shirt rubs up and down and up and down and up and down on them, like when I'm on the elliptical for a long time. And it doesn't happen every time. But right. I was just wondering if that was like, I swear to God, well, I should have never mentioned it. You're going to tell me what
no,
I...
No, just let me ask you, just let me ask a couple of questions. Let's see. Are you pregnant?
No.
Okay, you're not pregnant. Right, we can rule that out. Let's see. Now, is this right before or right after your period?
It's usually right before my period.
Right before your period. Okay, well, then it could just be hormones, okay, is what they're saying.
Well,
it could just be hormones. However, if it was not right before or right after your period, it could just be that the fabric on your shirt is rubbing up against your nipples and agitating it.
Well, that could be it. But I've just, I mean, you walk around in a shirt all day long. Most people
yes,
do.
But you know what? I have shirts that I that have big embroidered things on the front that I can't wear without putting a Band-Aid over my nipple.
I'm gonna
because
start.
they hurt my nipple just wearing the shirt.
Is that who is that that wear that like is it Lil Kim or somebody that like wore these things on her nipples and that's all she wore, like she didn't wear a top, or maybe it was like an album cover or something.
I think it could be Lola Falana. I don't know.
But so Janet
you're gonna
Jackson
do that then.
For all I know. Well, I'm gonna have to do something because my literally. Yeah,
what are you wearing? See, but look, you're wearing a knit shirt right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm wearing a polo shirt. I don't know. It's
yeah.
It's
see,
cotton,
and those
whatever.
Those are see. I wear t-shirts, so just old t-shirts that have no.
Well, what I was wearing, I'll tell you what I was wearing, but I don't know what it was made out of. It's an American Eagle shirt. It's sleeveless.
Oh well, there's your problem.
And
right there.
It does have something on the front. It's a thicker It's a thicker fabric, but it's not.
Right.
It's thicker than a t-shirt. I will say that.
Right, but if it had any kind of embroidered thing in the front, then all that thread that comes through on the back of it from the embroidery tends to rub up against your nipples and make it hurt.
Well, I just want to tell everyone,
fascinating, by the way.
If next week Daniel is doing Dubious and 10 Plus by himself, mm-hmm. I have been rushed to the hospital.
Rushed to the hospital because
cancer.
Of sore nipples. Oh,
no,
nipple cancer.
Nipple cancer. They may have to remove one, and I may have to get a nippleectomy. But
a nippleectomy, okay,
and then a nipple transplant because I don't want to look weird. I'm going to Las Vegas for Pride 48. I've got to have two nipples at least. I mean, I assume we're going to swim or something.
I'm not going to swim. I make it a point never to go into bodies of water because, especially like the ocean, because there are whales in the ocean that will see me and go, oh, look, he's walking around. And that's how we end up with beached whales, because they see me walking around and they go, well, if he's doing it, then we can do it. And then they end up on shore.
Well, I'll just have to say, at least, you know, people listening to both of us on this show. Now people can't tell me that I'm low self-esteem boy because
No, I have empirical evidence of this. You know what? I moved away from Florida 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago.
Okay.
Have you heard of one beached whale in Florida in the past 3 years? No, you have not. I have not been there. Ergo, it supports my argument.
Okay. Well, how do you know I haven't heard of a beached whale in Florida? And second of all,
because there have been no beached whales in Florida
Arkansas.
Over the past 3 years.
Why would I hear about a beached whale in Florida?
A beached whale makes the news.
You do hear about people getting DUIs on lawnmowers.
Right.
And other various things, but you don't normally hear about beached whales necessarily. Shark attacks, possibly.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So,
And you were transitioning, and I was going
to
transition.
I was trying to transition.
If you're in L.A., you hear about Michael Jackson dying.
You hear that? That is a very subtle and well-played segue there.
Why, thank you, sir.
You know, now, one of the things that we have in common, I think, if I recall correctly, is that we both used to listen to, or maybe still do listen to, AM talk radio.
Yes, that is true.
Are you familiar with Art Bell?
I am. Yeah.
Art Bell, the Kingdom of Nye. Art Bell.
I listen to him some. I used to listen to him some, like really, really late at night. But some of that stuff that he talked about was just.
Oh, I know. It was fucking batshit crazy. Fucking batshit crazy. What was his? He had a theme song. What was his theme song that he used to always play? Let's see.
I don't know, but I'm sure it had to do with UFOs.
It was one of those.
I mean, it was probably some UFOs with nipple soreness were coming back. and it was written in code in Revelation.
No, he didn't. No. Art Bell was solely dedicated to UFOs and government conspiracies. He didn't do the biblical stuff. That was handled exclusively by Dr. Gene Scott. But Art Bell, and he always had like these two or three so-called scientists that he would get on the phone that supported whatever the fuck he was saying. So it didn't matter how crazy the theory was. Yeah, like Richard Hoagland, I think, was always one of the ones that would always be on the phone. Art, we found these amazing packets inside the artifact. It seemed to consist of some kind of powdered substance that smelled really good. And here's the most amazing part. When we added hot water to it, it made soup. And are we? Oh, soup, you say? Well, that's absolutely government conspiracy. It was just I'm not doing it justice, but the man, he was really all into the conspiracy theory.
And evidently, and because, he would do it. He would, even after his show was off, he had like a ham radio and continue the stuff like for hours.
Yep. Oh, the man was crazy. He lived like out in the middle of the desert, and he was really. Anyway, so because I grew up listening to that, and because I just really love that shit. I mean, I just absolutely love that shit. I think it's just highly entertaining. Not that I believe any of it. I just find it highly entertaining. And one of the worst things was the Elvis thing. When Elvis died, and then they were like, "Oh, Elvis isn't dead. You know, Elvis is still alive."
Yeah.
And there was a book that came out, Is Elvis Still Alive? And it was written by, I forget her first name, but her last name was Brewer. And
well, Elvis isn't still alive, but you can find him on a piece of cheese toast, evidently.
Apparently. But it just pissed me off that this bizarre conspiracy lady had my name. It was somebody Brewer. Anyway, so I was looking through Netflix the other day, and I happened across an amazing new documentary. And I sent you the link to it. So did you watch the amazing new documentary?
Yes, I watched it. I did not use the link. However, I have a Roku box attached to my TV, but I was able to find it. Yeah.
Let me find it here. It was called Alive! ! Is Michael Jackson really dead?
Can I just say something about this documentary to begin with?
Yes.
The production quality was amazing. Yes. I don't know how they had the budget.
Well, here's the thing, because when you watch it, it's only like 52 minutes long. And so you think to yourself, well, why didn't they just put this out as a YouTube video? It's because YouTube has higher video quality standards, I think, than this particular documentary.
This woman, I mean, I kid you not. The text in between looked like, I don't know, she added it with some kind of speaking spell, something or other.
Oh, she did. Then, and she used a Casio keyboard for the sound effects. Can we just play a piece of it here?
Sure.
Let me... Sure that I'm going here. Tap dance for a moment while I find it here.
Well, it was awful. Productions. It was really awful. You've got it. I hear it.
I got it
through.
Yes. This is the thrilling soundtrack to it. Investigative journalist Pearl.
Did you buy that off of iTunes?
25th, 2009. The media reported that Michael Jackson passed of a cardiac arrest. The world was in shock. People couldn't believe it. Just a month later, Michael was to be performing at London's O2 Arena.
Oh my God.
Wowing crowds.
Wowing but them.
Michael Jackson supposedly died that day. But did he really?
Did he really die that day?
All you need is like a bum, bum, bum.
No. No, she does this. Let me find a transition here, because she continually uses this music in the transition. And it's... Let's see, I gotta find the place here. Oh, my favorite part was when she used a CNN clip, and the CNN clip was her. She had recorded it off of her camcorder of her TV playing CNN. But every time she does a transition, I think this is a transition coming up here. Let's see.
July.
Really?
So it's gonna be London for 3 months, maybe more. And it's gonna be a big
comeback. Big comeback. It's like that.
And on March 2nd, just 3 days before his This Is It.
It's like that cheesy kind of dun, 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 dun,
Well, the other thing I notice is that different, and being an audio person like we are, I don't know if you noticed this, but at different points in the documentary, her voice sounded like she was further away from the microphone or closer. It even sounded like she switched microphones from time to time, or sometimes she had like some noise in the background, and sometimes she, it was like really weird, like... Sometimes she, it sounded like she was using a lapel mic, and then others it sounded like she like the mic on the camcorder.
He was all over the road, but she managed somehow to work Lou Ferrigno into it. So I'm not entirely sure what it was, but I wanted to get to the most damning piece of evidence that she managed to produce, because all of it is basically like what was it? I mean, all of it was just kind of like stupid.
Oh, well, let's see. Okay, so Michael, his name was supposedly Michael Joe Jackson.
No, wait. That's what I'm going to look, because that's the best she had.
Oh, okay.
Because the rest of it was like, oh, he was in numerology, and the ambulance that took him away was ambulance number 7, and the fire truck was number 17. And if you add up the number of letters in Michael Jackson, it's 17. It's just like, okay, that's interesting, but I don't know what the fuck that means. But no, here's the piece. This is the best she could do out of 52 minutes, which I highly recommend watching this. It is, and the drunker you are watching it, the better, I think. But here it is.
Are you now believing in the possibility of a Michael Jackson death hoax?
A death hoax.
But there is so much more.
She's smiling. That's the transition music.
Yeah.
About a week after Michael Jackson passed, it was announced that a will had been found.
A will?
Is this will real or is it fake?
Is it forged?
Joe Jackson seems to think so. Well, the controversy over the will is that Michael Jackson was in New York with Reverend Al Sharpton, calling Sony head Tommy Mottola a devil and a racist. I mean, golly, what bigger day is that to say that Michael Jackson wasn't in Los Angeles, a day with video proof? Now, is this telling us something, that Michael thinks that this whole conspiracy or the people that were out to kill him was due to racism?
So her basic proof there, because it's kind of silly, is that his will was dated on the same day that he was actually in New York.
There aren't planes, or he couldn't have
an attorney. It's even aside from that. Yeah, I was going to say, it's his attorney that made up the damn will. It's like his attorney dated the will, not him.
No, what I was going to say is the other thing that she said was his name. There was a whole thing about what his name was, and like on the autopsy report and everything, it was Michael Joseph Jackson.
Right, and his name is Joe.
And you know what she pointed to prove that his name was Joe? A movie.
Yes.
A movie that had an actress who was playing his mother when
naming
he was born,
Joe.
Calling him Michael Joe Jackson. A movie.
Right. And then she also tried to tie that into Elvis Aaron Presley, because Aaron is spelled with one A. Elvis's name was Elvis Aaron with one A. But on his tombstone, it has two A's, which is what the conspiracy people have been saying for years. That's why it's not really his grave, because his name is spelled wrong. But, you know, misspelling a name is completely different than using the shorter or longer version of the same name. You know what I'm saying? It's like, my name is Daniel, yet people call me Dan sometimes. It doesn't mean I've changed my name. It's just that is an accepted shortcut to the name Daniel. And in fact, a lot of people from my childhood call me Dan, but if I signed anything back then, I would always sign it Daniel, because that was my... That was like the formal name.
Well, now, just, you know, this may be a conspiracy all of its own, but we found this movie in July, which is 7.
Oh, my
seven,
God. In July of 2011, which is supposedly when he's coming back.
That's right. So, next episode, Michael Jackson may have returned.
I'm Googling it now. It's Michael Jackson sighting.
A return of Michael Jackson.
Let's see. Oh, there's a website, MichaelJacksonSightings.com.
We could be the first to report it next week.
Let's see.
It's kind of like a Bigfoot, you know. Hey, Art Bell. We could call into Coast to Coast and say,
oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Nice website that starts playing music when you get to it. Jesus.
We can call into Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie
he's still there?
I spotted Michael Jackson.
Now, you know, I think the best possible thing that we could do is send an email to this lady Pearl right. Jr. and ask her if we can do an interview with her, and we'll just make up some radio name.
Oh, my Lord.
Right. Yeah, Daniel Brewer, who does overnights on WSPF in Columbia.
You gotta,
and then we can get her on Skype, and then I'll just, you know, we'll have some radio commercials or something playing softly so she feels like, you know, that the radio's going. And that, you know, and then we'll click over to her, you know, and now joining me is Pearl June. And then we can ask her all kind of stupid questions.
You could use one of those Casio keyboards, make her feel right at home.
Yeah, see, the thing is, we've both seen it, so we think this is much funnier than people. Anyway, go watch the movie. It's absolutely incredible.
This episode was sponsored by Netflix.
Well, that's right.
Speaking of conspiracies, this is a better segue. I'm just going to let you know. You have to tell the audience. So I found this story, and I know we're going to talk about tech a little bit on the show, and I thought this was interesting, and I'm sneaking it in during this segment instead of news so I can do more news. But yes. Chinese counterfeiters have had a field day pumping out knockoffs of Apple Incorporated's best-selling iPhones and iPads. But one
you buy iPhone. You buy iPhone, $5. $5, I sell you iPhone.
One appears to have gone a step further, a near flawless fake Apple store that even employees believe is the real deal. So basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's somewhere in China, there are at least two or three stores, and they look, I don't know if you've seen this story or whatever, but the and there's not a picture in this article that I linked, but I've seen pictures on another show that I watch, but they literally, these stores look exactly like Apple stores, like everything. They have the white interior,
hard to duplicate. You know, that exact white color is really hard to get right.
Well, you know, it turns yellow. So you really have to work hard. I mean, I hear they delayed the stores for like a year just trying to get that white correct. But I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that they're like faking Apple stores over there.
Why wouldn't they? They've been faking McDonald's and Burger King's and other American-type stores forever. Why wouldn't they?
Well, down to the fact that the employees think that they actually work for Apple. I mean, no joke.
Right.
These employees think that it's an Apple store. I don't... I mean, really? I mean, what do they do? Like, forge the checks, you know, and figure out what the Apple checks
are? So how do they find it? Did one of the employees try to use their employee discount or something on Apple.com?
Well, no. So some blogger... had just stumbled upon this store and noticed something. What did she notice? Let's see.
She noticed that it was on the seventh block, and Michael Jackson had seven letters in his first name.
Yeah, there was a Michael Jackson lookalike in the store, and he was actually transported there via a spacecraft.
Right.
But no, I don't know. She knew that there was not, it might have been a he, I don't know. This person knew that there was not an Apple store in this area. And there were some other telling signs. I think, actually, I saw, I don't know if this was Photoshopped, but in one picture that I saw, store was spelled STOER instead of STORE. But
it was spelled wrong.
Yeah.
It all came down to a grammatical error, which, you know, no, I'm not even going to talk about that.
But anyway, for those of you who care, Lion, I guess, is out and all that wonderful jazz.
Lion's out and scrolling is backwards. That's what I keep hearing. Scrolling is backwards. And apparently they've turned on autocorrect by default. So the two most popular, or at least in my circles of people on Google+, the two most commonly linked articles I've seen since Lion has been out is how to disable the scrolling change and how to disable autocorrect, which are two things that are supposed to be the new features. And
what I want to know is, other than the Lion, does it have cats?
I don't know.
Well, because cats are very important.
Yes, but I know you're transitioning here, but you know that all the versions of OS X have been named after cats.
That's true.
Because you had Leopard, and then you had Snow Leopard, and then you have Lion. And
well, there's this girl.
Jaguar.
Speaking of cats,
mm-hmm.
And I think this has turned out to be a hoax. I mean, doesn't everything turn out to be a hoax? I mean, I think this is the episode about hoaxes.
It's the hoaxy episode.
It's the hoaxy episode. But basically, there was this YouTube video, and I didn't link to the video because we can't watch it together. But there is a YouTube video of this girl who was supposedly doing a video profile for Match.com.
Right.
And she apparently really loved cats.
Why? What do you mean we can't watch?
This is my first attempt at a eHarmony video. It's my first time at online dating, so I'm nervous, but I'm excited at the same time.
And my nipples are sore.
Start talking about what I like and hope I get some replies. So I am a recent MBA grad from Villanova.
She doesn't sound like an MBA grad.
I think she said NBA grad.
Love cats. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I love cats. I love every kind of cat. Sorry. I really love cats. You can stop it there. I just want to hug all of them, but I can't because that's crazy. I can't hug every cat. But I just want to. I want to.
But you love cats, don't you,
Daniel? I'm sorry. Anytime.
You can stop it now.
I love cats.
Is this you? Wait, maybe it was you.
No, I'm just saying that's clearly a hoax. You know why?
Why?
Because Love Cat has seven letters in it.
Oh, shut
and,
up.
And that's...
Well, there's an auto-tune version. You just have to hear just a little bit of this. Just a small smidge.
Go ahead.
This is my first attempt at...
These people are really good, too.
...eHarmony video. I'm nervous, but I'm excited at the same time. So I'm just going to start talking about what I like. I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just want to hug all of them, but I can't hug every cat.
Hey.
Okay.
I mean, can't you just see the glow sticks, you know, and like
it's a nice one.
Anyway, I thought it was funny.
Why don't we ever do that? Why don't we ever auto-tune stuff?
I don't even know how to auto-tune anything.
We would be more entertaining if we auto-tune stuff because let's face it. So far, we've talked about sore nipples, Michael Jackson, and cats. And people have gave up like 10 minutes ago.
Are you still hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Well, Google Plus seems to think that my hardware is no longer working, so I don't know. I got this strange. It's a conspiracy. Someone's trying to shut us up, Daniel.
It's probably what it is. Because, you know, Google Plus sign is 7 characters long. And that's some means something in somewhere.
Well, in the news this week...
You really have to warn me before you do that.
Oh,
because
sorry.
It just came like out of nowhere.
In the news, an Austrian atheist has won the right to be shown on his driving license photo wearing a pasta strainer as religious headgear.
Yes.
Nico Alm.
What news story is this from? Who's the source?
It's from bbc.co.uk.
Well, they have gotten one major fact in that story wrong right off the bat.
What is that?
They called him an atheist. He's not an atheist. He's a pastafarian.
Well, that's just what the story says. I don't know what pastafarians believe in. Nico Alm first applied for the license 3 years ago after reading that headgear was allowed in official pictures only for confessional reasons. Mr. Alm said the sieve was a requirement of his religion, pastafarianism.
Yes, he's a pastafarian.
Later, a police spokesman explained that the license was issued because Mr. Alm's face was fully visible in the photo. The photo was not approved on religious grounds. The only criterion for photos and driving licenses applications is that the whole face must be visible, said some person, a police spokesman in Vienna. He was speaking on Wednesday after Austrian media. Anyway, so this guy looks ridiculous. He has a pasta strainer on his head.
Yes, he does. But that was the entire point. That's the entire point of pastafarianism.
Well, explain it to me, because I didn't do any research about pastafarianism.
You'll be happy to know that at least one of our loyal listeners, Stephen from Wisconsin, is a pastafarian.
Really?
Yes. The pastafarianism, or the people who, the members of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, believe that the entire universe is controlled by an invisible flying spaghetti monster who cannot be seen or sensed in any way, but he actually controls everything that happens. And the reason that this particular religion exists is in direct response to the Kansas School Board wanting to include intelligent design inside their science textbooks. So a science professor came up with this religion as an answer against intelligent design, basically pointing out that anyone can make up a bunch of bullshit and call it their religion. So the entire Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster was born from that. So yeah, it's a They have tenants and everything.
Well, he looks ridiculous. Well, I wonder if he has
kind of the point.
I wonder if he has the number 7 inscribed somewhere inside of his pasta strainer. I don't know, but I mean, it's just like, okay. Well, he could have at least gotten like a designer pasta strainer, you know, or blinged it up a little bit, put some glitter on there or some.
He was
some
just
of those,
making a point that we make exceptions to all kind of laws for people's religious beliefs without ever really giving any thought as to whether it's worthwhile to do that, because most religious beliefs are bullshit.
He could have painted it.
Yeah. I mean, religion has no place in government. So that was kind of the answer to that. Anyway, aside from that, go ahead. What's the next news story? I'm sorry. I have it. Do we need, you know what we need? We need a thing that goes between the news stories.
A thing?
You know, like Rachel Maddow used to have the swoosh, you know, noise that went between the, so that you know that you were ending that news story and now moving on to another one.
Well, we already have a problem with the beginning thing. Obviously, I started it. And well, you
could have pointed at me or something.
So
because
that means
I
in
just
between
didn't.
Now, if we get another thing in between every news story, I'm gonna have to like be pointing at you, and there's gonna be a delay.
Here,
and
I'll do it. I'll do it right now. Here, that was the end of that news story. Okay.
You just wanted to play another sound effect. The naked sunbathers who once crowded Germany's Baltic beaches and city parks are becoming an endangered species due to shifting demographics, the fall of the Berlin Wall, growing prosperity, and widening girths. Much to the chagrin of free body culture, FKK, enthusiasts who have been stripping off their clothing on beaches and parks since the early 1900s, a cold wind has been blowing across Germany for nudists, and their numbers are steadily dwindling.
Aw, poor nudists.
German society is changing, and it's not easy to be a naturist anymore, said Kurt Fischer, president of the German FKK Association. There are some 500,000 registered nudists and a total of 7 million Germans sunbathe naked regularly. But the numbers are unfortunately falling by about 2% each year, Fischer told a group of reporters in the Foreign Press Association while sitting fully clothed at a beach bar in Berlin's government quarter. Times are tough.
Why is this unfortunate? Being out in the sun is bad for your skin.
Well, I just want to say, you know, I want to go over there and see some hot nude guys. I mean, you know.
I don't want to see a bunch of hot nude guys out in the sun.
I don't care where they are. They could be in the moon.
Look, hot nude guys belong in a dark room with very little clothing on and some kind of group groping going on.
Well, maybe, but I mean, in the sun, you can see them better. I mean, you know, okay. At least, well, if they're in a dark room, at least have some like fluorescent, I don't know, disco lights or something. I don't know. I need to see some stuff if they're hot. I mean, if, you know, you want to see the muscles and see the, unless they're hairy, because I'm not really all into that hairy stuff, but, and Germans are pretty hairy.
You don't know. I mean, that's a racist statement.
It's not racist. They are hairy.
The Germans are a race of people. You can't just make a blanket statement that Germans are hairy.
Well, we had a German exchange student. Well, anyway.
Based off of one German exchange student. Did you have sex with him?
No, but he was hot. Oh, my God. He was so hot.
Why didn't you have sex with him? Did he call you fat?
First of all, I don't know if he was gay. I don't think he was. And second of all, he was like underage. I mean, you know, and when would that come up? Oh, by the way, Sven, do you like to suck cock? I mean, you know, he's staying with my parents.
But
I mean,
are you saying that you've never had sex with someone who wasn't gay?
I wouldn't know that because I don't question each of my.
Well, there you go.
Suitors.
Well, then it shouldn't be a. I'm just saying, shame on you. Should have had sex with him.
So we did have one voicemail this week.
Oh, wait, we got to end that news story. Here, I got a new sound for it, though. All right, that's now the official end of a news story transitioning into something else.
And that was the news. Right. Well, we did have one voicemail. And what number can we call, Daniel, if someone wants to leave a voicemail to us?
You know what, Adam? Ring, 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 ring. Phone. People can call Dubious and 10 Plus by dialing 2x2 DI Plus.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a voicemail from, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, and he doesn't give his real name. He goes by Brother Sadis?
No, Brother Sinatus.
Anyway. Oh, is it Sinatus?
Yes,
okay,
Brother
Sinatus. But I assume that's not his real name.
I don't know.
Hey, that's Adam, the name. This is Brother Sandus in Denver. I was a listener of your previous podcast, and I'm happy to see that you are getting back into it with Dubious Intent Plus. I'm sorry to hear about the challenges that life has thrown at you, but it sounds like you're starting to get things put together again. Well, I just thought I would let you know that I would be listening. Now, one other thing I wanted to... Oh, yeah. Hi, Daniel.
Hi,
see you later. Bye.
Yes.
Yeah. And the clipping kind of noise is his audio, not mine.
Whenever I was just glad he said hello to me.
Yeah, I know. It was like, I kind of felt special, you know, the first ever voicemail, and it was, he mentioned me and hoped I was doing well, and, you know, all of this stuff. You know, it's all about me, but...
Whatever. You know, and people can... go ahead.
I don't even know what I was going to say now.
Yeah, you were talking about how pleased you were that someone called you.
I was just talking about myself.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any email?
I did not get any email, and you did not put anything in the document. Did you get any email?
I did indeed, but it just came in today, so that's why I did not make it to the document.
Okay, well, why don't you read that to us then?
This comes in from Chuck Chapman, who says, I'm so excited that Dubious Intent is getting a reboot. I downloaded it this afternoon and will listen tomorrow. Thanks for all the laughs on Live It Up. I really do love listening to you guys. I've decided that being a lurker for the past 3 or 4 years is beat, which is why I've decided to go to Vegas to meet all of you. Oh, okay. He's going to Vegas. Yay. Going to Vegas.
Yay. Wait,
do we have a thing for that? He's going to Vegas.
I don't have a thing.
Yay. Let's see. I really can't wait. I hope you can talk Wes into going. I don't know who Wes is. That must be some other podcaster or something. I'm not sure. He was one of the first podcasts I started on. Oh, this is all about Wes. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
You didn't proofread this, did you?
Can't wait to meet you in September, Chuck. There you go.
Well, thanks for the over email, Chuck.
All the Wes stuff. And I'll probably just read that little email over on the that other show.
You know, he hasn't listened to the reboot of Dubious Intent yet. We may not.
I know.
We may get another email next week going, that's a bunch of crap.
That was the most annoying shit that I've
it's
ever
like,
heard
he'll
in
be
my
saying,
life.
He'll say something like, that's why you never watch the remake of an old movie.
That's
because
right,
it's always
it sucks.
Crap.
That's
you know, right. they just do it for gratuitous money making because people automatically just go to it because it was good before, and then it's just crap.
Right.
They shouldn't have replaced the characters with other people. And anyway, well, I guess that was our contact. Did you have anything else?
Did I have anything else?
For contact, I mean.
Oh, no, not emails? For contact. Although I did want to apologize because in listening back to my 30 different podcasts that I do last week, I repeated myself a lot. So I do apologize for all of the Google Plus proselytizing on every single show.
Well, that's all right. I'm sure they'll all forgive you. And, you know.
Oh, by the way, Brother Sinatus is on Google Plus. You could follow him.
I follow him. He followed me and I followed him back. I was going to say that speaking of Google Plus, I am going to add links on the website for Google Plus for both of us because I know you all want to find us on Google Plus and everything. You know,
and
so
it's really hard to type
it.
Yeah, it's hard to type in Adam Burns and Daniel Brewer.
Well, I'm going to add links anyway because it'll be more convenient people. But it's funny, people have already found us. I was looking the other day and I think I was plussed by an old Muppet.
You said you wanted to do it this time. I don't know. Dubious Intent was written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line 2x2DI+. That's 2x2DI, some numbers that spell out plus. I'm not entirely sure. You can also email us. I am DanielJBrewer@gmail.com. He is AdamBurns.UK@gmail.com. And there you can find us on Plus. What were you going to say?
I don't know. I was going to say it's 292. I forgot the number. I was going to, like, yeah, but I can't remember it. So I guess we're going to have to stick with your whole 2x2DI+ thing.
Something like that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, say goodbye, Adam.
Goodbye, Adam.